A few years back, my friend Justin Warner from Food Network moved out to South Dakota. He opened a ramen joint, and he is always posting pictures of all the great food he's not only cooking, but eating all over South Dakota. He's always telling me to come visit. And you know, one of the best ways to experience a new place is to eat your way through it. But it's equally important to live your way through it, too. And when you summer in South Dakota, you can fill up on all the lake days, hikes, rides, and small-town strolls that'll leave you with a regained sense of wonder and a hunger to do it all over again. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. This episode contains explicit language. A few weeks ago, I called up Andy Greenberg. He's a senior writer at Wired, the tech magazine. He's one of the country's top cybersecurity reporters. He's written books about WikiLeaks and cyber warfare with Russia. His article about a successful hack of Jeeps led to 1.4 million cars being recalled. And when you do work like that, you get a lot of people coming out of the woodwork with stories they really think you should write about. And a lot of those stories are pretty hard to believe. So I asked him, what's the most outlandish thing that anyone ever came to you with that turned out to be true?
Oh, man. I can't actually think of a better one offhand than this story, than Jeremy O'Sullivan and his whole McDonald's conspiracy theory.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Today, we're kicking off a little series we're calling Three Nuggets About McDonald's. Or should it be a three-piece McStory? We couldn't decide. Over the next two episodes, we'll be telling you, you guessed it, three stories about McDonald's. One today, two next week. All right, let's do it. So, Andy Greenberg is this cybersecurity reporter, and one day he gets a message from a guy named Jeremy O'Sullivan.
He hooks me with this idea that there is a secret code in McDonald's ice cream machines, and that, in fact, even the owners of those machines, the franchisees who buy them for $18,000 and keep them behind the counter to make shakes and McFlurries and whatever, that they don't know the secret code, and that that secret code is the only way to unlock a lot of the machines' data, like the real data that shows how they operate, the viscosity of their ingredients, the temperature of the heating elements. That immediately hooks me, but he's already like in these initial text messages going further, and he tells me, quote unquote, we've learned some crazy secrets about these machines. And I was sort of like, well, we'll see.
Andy started doing some digging. He learned that Jeremy O'Sullivan and his girlfriend, Melissa Nelson, were themselves in the fast food ice cream business. The couple first met at Bucknell University in 2005. After they graduated, they both became accountants. Accountants who happened to love frozen yogurt. This was around that time that all those Froyo chains were popping up. Remember, there was Pinkberry, Red Mango, Tasty Delight, 16 Handles. It was a bona fide fad. But Melissa and Jeremy thought the business model for these places was inefficient. Here's Melissa.
So if you walk into a frozen yogurt store, it's usually 1,500 square feet, and there are usually about 6 to 8 soft serve machines. Then you have your toppings on another wall. There's someone standing at the front of the house to check you out. But there's a lot of wasted space. There are a lot of fixed costs that are unnecessary.
And so we're like,
Here's Jeremy.
You know, if we shrink the store and the experience around this machine, we can drop this machine into a mall. You know, this machine would become kind of untethered if we could protect it and brand it.
Their business idea? A Froyo vending machine. No cashier, no storefront. Just take a Froyo machine and build a nice box around it. Add a touchscreen and a credit card reader, and you're selling the same product as the chains with much lower costs. They decided to call their machine Frobot. Seemed like it could work. Just one thing. They had to figure out how to build it. Step one, get a Froyo machine to play with.
And when we looked at the brands, the main manufacturer, the most popular, was Taylor. Same exact brand that was in McDonald's, Burger King, In-N-Out. So we purchased a used Taylor machine off of Craigslist, and that's how we got started.
We bought it from Mr. Florida in 1979. there's this guy owned a gym in Tampa, Florida, and he bought like a frozen yogurt machine for his gym.
It was a C708, is that right?
C706.
And do you remember how much it cost?
It was like $4,000, $3,500 in that range.
Melissa and Jeremy were focused on Froyo, but they learned that Taylor also makes machines that produce soft serve, gelato, milkshakes. Taylor's one of the biggest names in the industrial creamy frozen treat industry. They distribute their machines all over the world. Melissa and Jeremy went all in and quit their accounting jobs. After spending 3 years tinkering and close to $50,000, they finally got a Frobot up and running. So, Melissa, do you remember the first time that you ordered yourself a Froyo from your very first Frobot?
I do. I think the machine might have overheated, but yes, I do remember that. I think we served cookie butter first, and it was excellent. I didn't have a background in mechanical engineering or anything of that nature or software at the time. But we figured it out and we pieced it together and we actually had a prototype that worked.
It was exciting to see it work. When you're bootstrapping something and you're building something and it's this super expensive machine, when it did ultimately work, it was like, oh, thank God.
Jeremy and Melissa say the folks at Taylor who make those ice cream and Froyo machines were supportive of the Frobot concept. They thought it could be a way for them to sell more machines. So Taylor loaned some units to Melissa and Jeremy to test out, and the couple bought several more outright. Jeremy and Melissa made more Frobot prototypes, refining the design. They noticed the Taylor machines were temperamental, but they kept moving forward. They started working to get Frobots placed around the Bay Area so they could test them in the wild, see how they'd hold up to a higher volume. They got two in a Tesla factory and six at Levi's Stadium, where the San Francisco 49ers play. That's when those Taylor machines started giving them real problems.
We just had so many issues keeping it operational. We experienced a lot of downtime.
Now, the thing you got to understand about these machines, they're incredibly complicated with hundreds of parts. In the user manual for one model, the diagrams and list of parts take up 27 pages. There are more than 30 O-rings, you know, those little rubber or plastic rings that make a seal, and they're all different sizes. And because they're serving up a dairy product, they have to be cleaned regularly. That means taking apart and reassembling the machine and making sure each tiny part is in just the right place. If it's not, the machine probably won't work.
You forget one O-ring and you're out of business for the day.
Some of the Taylor machines also go through a pasteurization process every night. So everything inside, including the soft serve mix, heats up to 151 degrees, then cools back down to freezing. One worker who was maintaining a Frobot at Tesla forgot to replace one part in the tank before the pasteurization process started.
And when you do that, the mix, when you forget that part, boils over. And so what would happen is during the evening, the mix would go everywhere. And
I'm picturing like a witch's cauldron, but like filled with Froyo.
Exactly. Something very similar. Something disturbing. When they would come in the morning, open the door to the Frobot, you know, the machine was locked out. There was ice cream everywhere. And it would just lead to the entire day being wasted.
As you can imagine, for Melissa and Jeremy, these malfunctions were very frustrating. And when they looked online, they realized they weren't alone. Taylor ice cream machines were wreaking havoc across the country. And there was one model that seemed to be notorious, the C602, which Taylor only sells to McDonald's. Here again is Wired reporter Andy Greenberg.
Almost all of the McDonald's in America buy this one Taylor C602 machine. The Taylor machine breaks like all the time. I mean, to a almost absurd degree. I started just like Googling and, you know, searching Twitter. I was kind of overwhelmed. Like, I could not believe what a social media phenomenon this is. I mean, it is a meme. Like, it's a full-blown meme. McDonald's ice cream machines being broken all the time.
You know it's a meme when there's an original TikTok song.
Welcome to McDonald's, what you order, bro?
Can I get an Oreo McFlurry, yeah?
We're not serving ice cream right now. It's broken at the moment. Can I get you something, yeah?
Oh, and tons of YouTube rants like this one.
No matter what time of the day I go to McDonald's, the damn ice cream machine is broke. How? And it doesn't matter what location I go to, even to the white people's McDonald's in the nicer neighborhoods, this shit is broke.
I mean, it has truly become a kind of shorthand for frustration with capitalism, frustration with technology, just frustration in daily life.
There's even a website called McBroken.com. Andy explains that it uses a bot that tries to place online orders for ice cream in every McDonald's in the U.S. every 30 minutes. If McDonald's online system won't allow the bot to order ice cream, that means the machine there is down. Each location is mapped along with its status and updated in real time.
And the numbers were kind of staggering. I mean, the overall number would fluctuate anywhere from like 5 to 16% in the time that I was looking at this for the story. I've seen as much as like 30% of all McDonald's ice cream machines in New York City being down at one time, which is just absurd.
And even it's to the point that McDonald's themselves have made fun of themselves on Twitter. They posted last year, "We have a joke about our ice cream machines, but we're not sure it'll work." Even they know.
When I reached out to them about it, they didn't try to kind of deny that their machines are broken all the time. They just kind of apologized and said, "We're working on it."
We reached out to McDonald's to comment on this story. They told us they want customers to be able to get soft serve, quote, whenever the craving strikes, and that there's a dedicated team of people at McDonald's trying to improve the ice cream machine's performance. But the fact that this machine breaks down so often is only part of the problem. There's a bigger issue, which is really at the crux of this story. The machine doesn't just break a lot. It's also very difficult to fix it on your own.
A lot of these places, the manager does try to fix it, or they have their own kind of technical person on staff who maybe, like, you know, oversees a whole collection of restaurants. But the fact is that Taylor doesn't make it easy.
So let's say the daily pasteurization heat treatment fails, and you want to try to fix this thing yourself. As Melissa and Jeremy learned, the machine won't always tell you what's wrong. First, to get even basic information, you need to enter a code.
You need to open up a menu, which requires multiple button presses, and the buttons don't have names. So if you're not experienced, you wouldn't even know that, hey, I need to press the snowflake 5 times and hit the shake button to select. It's just too cryptic.
It sounds like it's like video game codes.
Exactly.
Like up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, right. Start. That's is right. Like how you check the temperature.
That's right. You need some like old school Street Fighter skills with a game controller to get in that
right,
menu.
Right, right. That basic code does come with the owner's manual. But then there's the secret code that first hooked Andy on this story. That's the code that lets you access more detailed information about why your machine isn't working. And this code isn't readily available to the machine's owners. So the restaurant franchisees who shelled out about $18,000 for these machines and who stand to lose hundreds or even thousands of dollars in sales when it breaks down, they don't have access to this code. The people who do? Taylor and their licensed distributors.
Most of the time, the franchisees end up calling out the repair guy, who generally comes from a Taylor distributor. These sort of licensed, approved companies that give Taylor a cut of the service fees that they charge the restaurant owners. So indirectly, Taylor is making a lot of money from the fact that their machines are broken all the time. In fact, that, you know, I've seen some numbers from Taylor that that 25% of their revenue at one point came from maintenance.
We reached out to Taylor and its parent company, Middleby, with a long list of questions for this story, but they didn't respond to multiple requests for comment. Like the franchise owners, Jeremy and Melissa often found themselves having to call Taylor technicians to repair their machines.
We experienced this over and over and over again, and it was costly. So that's really when our focus shifted. We realized we had to do something to the ice cream machine so that we actually had a functioning operational business.
Melissa and Jeremy bought little cameras and put them inside the Frobot so they could see what was going on. According to Melissa, Taylor knew the company was working on hacks like this to improve the performance of the Frobot.
So we had emailed them asking, hey, do you have any method for us to monitor these machines remotely? And they said, no. We asked a few more questions and they said, you can go ahead and proceed with this, but we just can't help you.
Jeremy and Melissa built a device and wrote code that allowed them to monitor the Taylor machine's activity and access that hidden data about how it was running. If there was an issue in the machine, the device would send an alert to an app on their phone to let them know. And it would let them control the Froyo machine remotely to fix the problem. It could even detect and fix some issues in advance, preventing costly shutdowns. Eventually, Melissa and Jeremy realized something. This connected device, on its own, had the potential to be way bigger than Frobot. I mean, they had 8 Frobots, but there are 13,000 McDonald's franchises out there, not to mention all the other fast food places that use other Taylor machines. So they made a big decision. They abandoned Frobot. In 2019, they launched their ice cream machine device as a standalone product called Kitsch.
We started approaching people on LinkedIn. We started driving to different restaurants and approaching the staff there. And slowly, we were building a customer base. And once we went to these trade shows for Burger King and McDonald's, it really took off from there. Hundreds of devices were going out the door.
Andy Greenberg confirms the Kitsch was a hit.
I spoke to a bunch of franchisees. They loved it. I mean, one McDonald's restaurant owner described to me how one of their restaurants just had an ice cream machine that was just down constantly, like multiple times a month, I think. And after he got Kitsch, it was only when he figured out that it was just that like some McDonald's employee was just putting like a little too much of the dairy mixture into one of the hoppers, you know, and just like an inch or two too much of that mixture was enough to cause the heat treatment to fail. Kitsch detected that and fixed it. Now the guy is like kind of obsessed with Kitsch, and he tells me that every morning at 5:30 a.m., like the first thing he does when he wakes up is like look at his Kitsch readings remotely for all of his restaurants.
As we mentioned, Jeremy and Melissa say they had a good relationship with Taylor. Taylor had been supportive of Frobot, and the company knew the couple was developing this device that would go in their machines and allow remote control to make Frobot work better. But when Jeremy and Melissa started selling Kitsch on its own, directly to restaurant franchisees, that's when they say their relationship with Taylor changed. They started to suspect that Taylor was trying to get their hands on a Kitsch, and even that they'd enlisted private investigators to help.
And that's kind of the time when it's like, ooh, yeah, this is like explicitly, things have gone bad.
Coming up, Melissa turns into an investigator herself. Stick around.
And now, a delicious word from our sponsors.
If you're like me, the first thing you do when traveling is check out what's happening with the local food scene, right? And as I've been planning my big book tour and live podcast tapings all around the country, man, I am very excited to eat my way across the nation. There's Atlanta, there's Miami, and so many more. Going to local restaurants gives you a great taste of that place. And if you pay your bill with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum Amex, you get double miles at restaurants. Getting a taste of local food is the best way to get to know the local culture. And if you travel, you know that's how it's done. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Norwegian Cruise Line breaks the boundaries of global cruise travel. When you cruise with NCL, you're going to get award-winning specialty restaurants, a variety of food and beverage offerings, immersive entertainment, and the most thrilling experiences at sea. It is first class. These ships have all kinds of specialty restaurants: Brazilian steakhouse, French, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, Mexican. Select ships also feature alfresco dining on the waterfront and Ocean Boulevard, an oceanside promenade lined with bars and restaurants. Norwegian provides guests with truly authentic and fresh dining and bar experiences complemented by exceptional service. Almost everything you'll eat is prepared from scratch by highly experienced chefs. And they got whatever you're going to be in the mood for. You want a quick casual family meal? They've got that. You want a beautiful four-course feast? They've got that too. And you can sip something delicious at one of up to 23 unique bar and lounge options per ship. Visit and explore exciting destinations around the world and enjoy unique experiences on board. With no set dining and entertainment times and no formal dress codes, you have the flexibility to design your ideal vacation. Book your next adventure at ncl.com. I enjoy a nice glass of wine, but I don't pretend to be an expert in wine. I usually just want a wine that's high quality, delicious, and not too expensive. And to me, that's Bogle Family Vineyards. And here's the thing about Bogle. This is a third-generation, family-owned winery from California that makes exceptional wines for about $10 a bottle. Bogle wines consistently earn Best Buy designations and high ratings from wine enthusiasts. And let me tell you something. The folks at Wine Enthusiast, they drink a lot of wine. They drink a lot of fancy, expensive wine. And yet they still keep giving great ratings to Bogle. And Bogle Vineyards has so many different kinds of wine. Whatever your mood, whatever you're eating, there's a wine for you. They got this great Pinot Grigio that's crisp and fruity, goes well with spicy foods, with fish. They have a classic Chardonnay that's balanced, amazing with a pork tenderloin or butter chicken. I like to take that Chardonnay and do what Jacques Pepin taught me, a couple of ice cubes in your glass of Bogle. If Jacques Pepin says it's okay, then it's okay. And there's the Bogle Pinot Noir, refined and elegant with bright fruit and about as food-friendly as a red wine can be. You're not going to believe it's only $10. Neither will your friends if you tell them. So pick up a few bottles of Bogle wherever you buy your favorite wines. Please drink responsibly. I just got a very wonderful shipment of goodies from the folks at Reese's. And let me tell you something. These people remain the absolute worldwide leaders in bringing together chocolate and peanut butter. Of course, we know that peanut butter cups remain transcendent. But have you tried the Reese's Sticks? They're wafers with peanut butter in between each wafer, all coated in chocolate. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter just brings people joy, and the folks at Reese's do it better than anyone. So shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. As we know, when human beings come together, food is often a big part of the gathering. So why should prison be any different? In last week's show, I talked with Gustavo Alvarez, author of Prison Ramen, Stories and Recipes from Behind Bars. It's based on his own experience being incarcerated. One of the prison recipes he shares with me is a drink called a Cadillac.
The way we make it in there is we use a Milky Way bar, and we put it inside the coffee with the cream and sugar. The coffee has to be nice and scorching hot in order for the Milky Way to dissolve. And you stir it till it dissolves to a foamy kind of a espresso or a cappuccino kind of way. It's so good.
Plus, hear the dramatic story of how a bowl of prison ramen saved Goose's life. That one's up now. Check it out. Okay, back to our story. With their pivot to their ice cream machine hacking device, Kitsch, Jeremy and Melissa thought they were really onto something. But the move seemed to be affecting their relationship with Taylor. One of their first orders for a Kitsch actually came from Taylor. Before they fulfilled it, Melissa and Jeremy say they messaged Taylor to ask what they plan to do with it. The couple say Taylor never responded, so they canceled the order. Then more strange orders started coming in.
It was the summer of 2019. We were getting a bunch of orders that were being shipped to home addresses.
Typical buyers would have the device sent to a restaurant. Melissa says she looked into who lived at the addresses on those orders, and the names on the public records for those properties didn't match the names on the orders. She believed that meant the orders were placed with fake names. But when she looked up the names actually connected with the addresses...
If I look through LinkedIn, I see someone with that name who owns this property claiming that they work at Marksman, which is a IP investigative firm.
Why didn't you want Taylor to get their hands on a Kitsch?
The way they approached it, right? If they had responded to our email and said, hey, here's why we went onto your website to order and didn't contact you. I mean, they had chatted with us on multiple occasions. We shook hands. They had our cell phone numbers. It didn't sit right with us. And then when the private investigators came along, and then when their attorney prior to that tried to order one, it seemed like their intentions were not proper.
Melissa and Jeremy were concerned Taylor would try to use the technology in Kitsch without the couple's permission to create their own version of the device. Despite these worries, things were going really well for Kitsch. Their sales were doubling every quarter. Then they got their big break when they heard from a guy named Tyler Gamble. He's the head of the equipment team for the National Supply Leadership Council. It's an influential group of McDonald's franchisees. He wanted to try Kitsch in his restaurants. If he liked it and started spreading the word about it, that would be huge. Melissa and Jeremy sent Tyler Gamble 4 Kitsch devices to try out. Reporter Andy Greenberg says just a few months later,
he goes off to the McDonald's franchisee conference and proceeds to give this like minute-long infomercial for Kitsch where he really recommends it. Jeremy and Melissa are at this conference. They're sitting at their sales booth watching the stream of this speech live.
We were ecstatic. We were really happy. We were like, with this awesome kind of review and nod from Tyler Gamble, we thought, okay, we're going to be in every McDonald's. It's only a matter of months now. And it was super exciting.
It's just after that that the axe falls. Just shortly after McDonald's sends an email out to, I believe, every franchisee that says, more or less, don't use Kitsch. It will void the warranty on your Taylor ice cream machine. It breaches the confidential information on the machine. And they don't mean the restaurant owner's confidential information or the customer's information. They mean Taylor's confidential information on the machine that restaurant owners bought from Taylor. And then the kind of kicker is that it can cause serious human injury to technicians or staff in the restaurant. This is a kind of like a 1-2 punch death blow to Kitsch. I mean, McDonald's franchisees listen to McDonald's Corporation. They know that they're basically dependent on McDonald's, the company, for their livelihoods. So they listen.
The email ends with a bold italic warning. McDonald's strongly recommends that you remove the Kitsch device from all machines and discontinue use.
That's when we started losing customers. The opportunity for growth in McDonald's completely was decimated. So everything was going well until that point.
We asked McDonald's USA if they were aware of any incidents in which Kitsch had caused physical harm. They didn't provide any examples, but they say they're concerned that Kitsch's remote operation feature has the potential to injure someone, since it could turn the ice cream machine on while someone else is cleaning, operating, or repairing it. I asked Jeremy and Melissa, as far as you know, has that ever happened?
No.
No.
Has anyone ever been hurt because of Kitsch, to the best of your knowledge?
We have zero reported cases of anyone ever being injured because of Kitsch. Our machine is certified by Intertek to UL standards. And when you're performing any work on any type of machinery, step one, unplug the equipment.
The day after that email from McDonald's went out, Taylor announced that they were coming out with their own device to be installed in their ice cream machines called Taylor Shake Sunday Connectivity. Sounded very similar to Kitsch. In their statement to us, McDonald's USA said they are, quote, testing a smart technology that sends real-time texts when the machines aren't working properly so they can be fixed ASAP. We're committed to getting this right for our customers. They did not confirm whether or not this was the Taylor Shake Sunday connectivity, and they did not respond to a question about how long this smart technology has been in development. Jeremy and Melissa were convinced that Taylor had gotten their hands on a Kitsch and used it to make their own version. Melissa started digging through Kitsch records and soon zeroed in on one of Tyler Gamble's Kitsch devices. Remember, Tyler is the guy from that influential franchisee group, the one who gave Kitsch that great endorsement on stage.
One of his Kitsch devices went offline for about an 8-month period, and he had said that his machine was in the shop. He told us that the device was still attached to the machine and it was at the Taylor distributor. We noticed that a user that Tyler had invited named Matt Wilson, we looked into his login information and we noticed that the IP addresses overlaid with the locations of this Taylor distributor, TFG.
So Tyler had added Matt Wilson as a user on his Kitsch account.
Exactly.
And then you traced Matt Wilson and discovered that it seems like he has a connection to Taylor distributors.
It turns out that Matt Wilson is actually Blaine Martin, the owner of TFG.
All the names I've heard so far sound like fake names. Yep. But Tyler Gamble and Blaine Martin, those are real people. Matt Wilson is the fake person.
That's correct.
So Matt Wilson turns out to be Blaine Martin.
Yes.
Who is what now?
He is the owner of TFG, which is a large Taylor distributor.
And how are you able to confirm that Matt Wilson was Blaine Martin?
Because the cell phone number listed on his Kitsch account is the same phone number on Blaine Martin's business card.
Which you have.
Yes.
When you connected those dots, what was that moment?
I mean, it was shocking. It was disturbing. We had met him before, you know, we shook hands. So I recall Jeremy was a bit nauseous at the time because, you know, you can't believe that this is even happening. I mean, it's unreal.
Did you guys have one of those walls in your room with all the thumbtacks and the strings attaching them?
No, we did.
You have no idea. Yeah, we're
really? Did you?
Yeah, we put everything up on the wall and tried to piece it together.
There's yarn everywhere. they underestimated Melissa's Sherlock Holmes ability. I mean, she just ate private investigators for lunch.
At any point, Melissa, did you use the phrase, "I've hacked into the mainframe"? If I were you, I would say that once in a while, even if it's not true. It just sounds really cool.
I'll use that this week.
All right, good.
For sure.
We reached out to Blaine Martin, whose title is managing partner of TFG. He declined to comment due to ongoing litigation. That's because a few weeks ago, Jeremy and Melissa filed a lawsuit against Tyler Gamble, the Taylor distributor TFG, where Blaine Martin works, and Taylor itself. According to the suit, Tyler Gamble signed Kitsch's user agreement, which prohibits sharing any of the device's proprietary information. The suit alleges he did just that, and that these companies acquired and used Kitsch's trade secrets without permission. We also reached out to Tyler Gamble, but he didn't respond to our request for comment. Reporter Andy Greenberg did get one email from Tyler early on, before the lawsuit, in which Tyler said he saw himself as, quote, Kitsch's biggest advocate. Even after all this, there was still one issue I wanted to clarify with Melissa and Jeremy. So you're suing Taylor because you're alleging that they got a hold of your technology improperly and are using your trade secrets. But is there a way in which you kind of did the same thing with the Taylor machines? Like you bought the machines or got a hold of the machines under the pretense of doing Frobot, then used the machines to build your own device that hacks into the Taylor machines. So is there a way that you're kind of doing the same thing you're accusing them of doing?
Well, they provided permission for us to do what we were doing. And also, all of our customers do sign a trial agreement, and they also agree to the terms on our website, which state that they will not share our trade secrets and that they certainly would not give a physical device to a competitor. But that's not the case when you purchase a Taylor machine. There is no terms of service.
But in that sense, like the permission that they gave you was to work, was to hack into their machines for a specific purpose, which is one that they were on board with, which was Frobot. And then when your business became dangerous to them, to their business model, but that's different from what they gave you permission for.
Same software, same product. One's just not sold with a expensive metal enclosure.
Okay, so in your eyes, that was not any kind of like a breach on your part?
Certainly not.
McDonald's says they're testing their new technology in several dozen restaurants in the U.S., and they expect to have it available nationwide in the coming months. As for Kitsch, it's still being used in a few hundred restaurants, most of which are McDonald's, and they're hoping to build an entire line of connected appliances for commercial kitchens.
Our goal was to fix the ice cream machine, and we did fix the ice cream machine.
They just happened to be making a fix for a company that didn't want their solution.
And so you can create the best kind of modern, futuristic kitchen. But if someone doesn't want it, then it might be too hard to change.
Next week on the show, we're continuing our McDonald's theme when I talk with Professor Marcia Chatelain, author of the book Franchise, The Golden Arches in Black America. While you wait for that one, check out last week's show about a giant garbage bag full of ramen that saved one incarcerated man's life. Please make sure you connect with The Sporkful right now so you don't miss that one. In Spotify and Stitcher, follow. In Apple Podcasts, subscribe. Thanks. This show is produced by me, along with senior producer
Emma Morgenstern
and producer
Andre Sohara.
Our editor is
Tracy Samuelson.
The show is mixed by
Jared O'Connell.
Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Peter Clowney and Daisy Rosario. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Holly Rosby in Cleveland, Ohio, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.